We're going to start today's session with a conversation with Ludovic Courreau, co-founder and CEO of Attractive World, and also he's doing a new company now that he'll tell you about. Attractive World has already been sold. So Ludovic, welcome to you, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Why don't we start by you were telling us about Attractive World. What was the concept? Why did you think about it? And what was different about your idea? Dating websites are almost passé. What brought you the idea that that was something that you can build a new company around?
Okay. Attractive World is one of the leading dating websites in France. And the difference between Attractive World and a website like Match.com is that you have to be accepted by the community if you want to if you want to use the website. So you make a sign up like the 15-minute sign up where you share your patients and your professional interests and you know a lot of different information. And based on your profile, the community has 3 days to vote for your profile and accept you into the community. And we have 35% of people who are accepted into the community. And once you are accepted into the community, you can use the website. And there are a lot of events organized by the community. We have already more than 100 events every month.
So how did you get this business off the ground?
Because I was 24 years old, it was 9 years ago, and I was working in private equity, and I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had a lot of different ideas, but I didn't have the courage to do it. And I thought about you know the dating market, and I was convinced that the dating market was going to be segmented, because at this time there was only one dating website called Mythic. It's exactly the same kind of website as Match.com in the US. And Mythic has been bought by Match.com a few years ago. And I thought that when you are single, you have a lot of different lifestyles. Some people want committed relationships. Some other people want just a one-night stand. So I thought that the market was going to be segmented. And there was a space on the premium market. That's why I launched Attractive World in 2007.
And how did you get it going? You were 24 years old. What did you know about starting a company, and how did you, you know, pull it together? Did you develop the software yourself?
Oh, I didn't know anything 9 years ago about internet, and I was not geek, so I made a lot of mistakes because I didn't have any business partner. You know, I just had two of my best friends who just told me, quit your job and we will invest into your company. But when we started, we invested $100,000. So it was not a lot of money to build this kind of company. And so I worked with students. We developed the website, but the website was not very, very good at this time. And we had a lot of trouble with the technical part of the platform, and it was a very, very tough time. But you know, 9 years ago, people were more patient. Now, when they download an app, if there is a bug, they delete the app and it's finished, it's over. 9 years ago, they were more patient, and so even if we had some bug on the platform, people kept using the website, and I raised money, and I understood that I have to draw people on board who have the skill I needed in tech and in marketing.
So you said you raised money from some friends, and if I remember correctly from our previous conversation, you raised like money from 80 different investors. Tell us about that. How did you meet 80 different people who wanted to invest in you? How did you manage this process?
Yes, I started with my two best friends, but of course after I needed more money. So I started with the people I met when I worked in the private equity business. So I talked to my colleagues, and I said, okay, I'm looking for investors, and it was in 2008. So it was the crisis, you know, with the subprime, Lehman Brothers, etc. And people were very scared to invest in into a startup. And with me, I didn't know anything about internet, so it was very, very difficult to raise the money. In France, there were no seed fund at this time. Now it changed a lot. And so I talked to my colleague, and I talked to the friend of my colleague, and they introduced me to potential investors. And I made my first fundraising in May 2008, then my second fundraising in January 2009, and I raised 1 million euros with private people. And then the website grew a lot, you know, and I raised money again with the friend of the friend of the friend, etc. And at the end of the day, I raised 5.3 million euros with 80 shareholders.
So with the first million, that was before the website was, you know, done, how many investors were in that round?
I think it was around 25.
25. And these were friends and friends of friends?
Yes, it was friends, colleagues, friends of colleagues, etc. And how I started.
And then the next round, after you got the website going and started getting some traction, you added another 55 investors. Were these also friends, friends of friends, friends of friends of friends kind of round?
Yes, a little bit like that. We made, from 2008 to 2011, we made 5 fundraising, only with private investors. So we started with 25 investors. After we added 10 more, then 10 more, et cetera, et cetera. And the last fundraising was in June 2011, and I wanted to raise only 1.5 million euros, and we in 1 month only, we got almost 5 million euros of agreement, only with private investors, because the company got a lot of traction, and so I didn't need to go to VCs, because with the private investors, I got more than I expected.
So we'll get to that, because I do want to talk about your traction. But, you know, I have raised private angel rounds as well. It's very time consuming. So if you want to raise money from 25 investors or 55 investors, either you have to put all these people in one room and do one presentation to everybody. And then, you know, the rich people want to also have personalized presentations. They want to have lunch, they want to have breakfast, they want to have dinner. A fundraising round with that many people tend to become time-wise extremely expensive. Can you discuss your experience of managing this process?
Yes, because I didn't put everybody in one room. I made only face-to-face, sometimes with a group of friends, so maybe sometimes with 3 or 4 people, but you know, I really love to meet people, and that's why I really love when I have a fundraising, because it's a very good excuse to meet inspiring people. So I like to make face to face. It's a very good way to exchange ideas, to find inspiration, and when I raise money, I don't feel it's a work. You know, I really love it. And the consequence is that I get money from them.
Yeah. So you like this process of having numerous lunches and dinners and meetings with people and explaining to them what you are doing, and that kind of energizes you in the process. Interesting perspective,
Yes, as an entrepreneur, it helps me a lot, and most of the time, the people I met through the fundraising became my friends. So it's a very good way to make friends. It's a very good way to learn from them. It's a very good way to grow my network, to get more business opportunities. So to me, it's maybe the best way to spend my time as an entrepreneur is to meet these kind of people because it brings a lot to the company and to me as a person.
Interesting. Okay. So let's talk about your business strategy that got you to the kind of traction that made Attractive World successful. What were, if you were to summarize the key strategic decisions you made in executing to success, what were they?
I think that we have two from a marketing perspective, we had two very good decisions we made. The first one is the way we launched the website, because I didn't know anything about online marketing. I did it offline. So I hired 70 ambassadors who went to the street and distributed some cards to talk to people and say that there is a new website called Attractive World, which is selecting is 1,000 first founder members, and it's how we launched the website. So it was very, very different from the classic marketing strategy to launch a dating website, and it was very, very good for, it has been very, very good for our branding, and it enabled us to get a lot of coverage from the journalists. Because you know, it was very original, and a lot of journalists wrote about that. So this was a very, very good decision to launch the website. And the other decision, and it was a very game-changing decision, it's when we started to invest on TV advertising. It was in 2011. We showed that people were okay to pay 60 euros every month, because the first 2 years Attractive World was free, so in 2008 and 2009. In 2010, we started to make people pay for the subscription. It was 60 euros for 1 month, whereas our main competitor, Mythic, was 30 euros for 1 month. So it was a bit bad. And in 2010, we saw that the conversion rate of Attractive World was very, very good. So at the end of 2010, even if we made, you know, not a lot of revenue, I went to see my shareholders and I said, okay, I really think we should advertise on TV. And at the beginning, they told me, Ludovic, you are crazy. You know, you cannot advertise on TV. You know, when you are a small startup, it's not for you. It's too risky. It costs a lot of money. And if it doesn't work, you will have lost all the money that you raised at the last round. But I convinced them, and we did it, and it was the best decision ever. We started with one very, very famous channel in France, and the brand awareness of Attractive World increased a lot and very, very fast, and the revenue grew very, very strongly from this time. So it changed a lot the way the company was perceived by the users, by the journalists, by the investors. The brand awareness went from 8% to 90% in 4 years, and now Attractive World is a very, very famous dating website in France because of the TV advertising. Because
brand awareness.
We were on TV like almost every day.
Wow. And that you financed with this 5.1 million round in 2011?
Yes. We financed our TV advertising investments, and we became profitable in 2013.
So when you went to raise that round and sell this idea of television advertising to dramatically raise your brand awareness, the conversion of that people were subscribing, paying 30 euros or 60 euros to subscribe to the monthly subscription to the Attractive World site, that was already proven. You had already established that this conversion was happening.
Yes. We established it in 2010. We knew that the conversion rate was very good on the men, but also on the women, which was the best at this time. And we saw that the lifetime value was good as well, because the renewal was the renewal rate was good. So I was confident on that, and I just needed to scale, you know, in France. And the best way to do it in France is to invest on TV, because your brand awareness is increasing very fast. And yeah, when you get brand awareness, your acquisition cost decrease, you know. And because your acquisition cost decrease, in dating business, acquisition cost is almost 50% of your revenue. So it's a lot. So if you decrease your acquisition cost, your company becomes profitable. And now we made the last 4 years we made more than 50% 15% of net profit every year.
And have you maintained television advertising at the same level, or did you get it up to a certain level, got a lot of viral brand awareness, and then let the online process take over?
We decreased it a little bit, you know. We decreased it maybe from maybe 15%, but it was still the biggest investment in our marketing mix. Last year, it was I think 60% of the marketing was invested on TV advertising.
Okay. So you did sell Attractive World recently. How did that sale come about, and why did you decide that? It sounds like it was going great guns. Why did you decide that it was the right time to sell the company and move on to another project?
Because I wanted to move to the U.S. I wanted a new challenge, and Attractive World was very profitable in France. But we didn't expand abroad, and I hired a CEO. She was managing the day-to-day operation, and I was not involved in Attractive World the last 2 years. So I thought that it was better for me to focus on my new project in the U.S. called Shaper, and it was a very good timing for the investors to sell the company, since it has been like the last 4 years we distributed dividends, which is not classic for a startup. We distributed more than $4 million dividends the last 2 years, the last 3 years.
Fantastic.
And we thought that it was a good timing to close the loop, because all the investors were happy about the deal, and so I can focus on Shaper.
And did the company that acquired you, did they approach you, or did you approach them?
They approached us. Yes, we didn't give a mandate to an investment bank. We didn't have the idea to sell the company, but Affinitas Group, which is a big German group, which is the leader in the premium dating in Europe and in the US, they came to see us, and they said that we are very, very profitable in France, but we didn't go abroad, and they were in 28 different countries, so they thought that there will be a lot of synergies because our model and their model, and they wanted to buy Attractive World and expand the Attractive World concept in the other countries. So we thought that it was very relevant for the brand and for the company. That's why we made the deal.
Wonderful. And you're personally, you wanted a different challenge, and you wanted to do a global business next.
Yes. I wanted to make a global business, and I was aware that to do it, you have to start with the U.S. market. That's why I moved to New York, and I launched Shaper, which is a networking app which introduces you inspiring people every day.
So talk to us about, you know, what is Shaper, and what, how are you doing things differently with Shaper than you did with Attractive World?
Even if it's all about connect people, connecting people. It's a very different business. Shaper is a networking app, a little bit like Tinder. You get up to 15 new profiles every day based on your professional interest, your passion, and your experiences. And if you are interested, you swipe on the right. If you are not, you swipe on the left. It's anonymous. And if you have a mutual interest, you match, and you can grab a coffee with the people you match with. So it's all about connecting people, because as I told you, I know how rewarding is your network. It created a lot of very, very good opportunities for me in my professional life, as in my personal life. And I wanted to make networking more seamless and more inspiring, because I don't think that networking is just about giving your business card at an event or try to sell your software on LinkedIn. I really think that you need to build a very genuine relationship first, and we aim to do that with Shaper.
And so this is, Shaper is focused on business relationships, it's business networking.
Yes, yes. It's focused on that, and we start to get a very strong traction in the U.S. We had more 100% of growth month over month in November and December, and we are very excited with our first subway campaign, which started in New York yesterday. So I'm very excited about this business because it fits with the vision I have in my life. You know, I really love to meet people. I think that you get a lot of opportunities and fulfillment from the people you meet, and we want to make it easy for everyone to do it.
And are you doing the way you are building Shaper? Is it focused on New York City right now? Just New York City?
Not New York City. We are focused on the U.S. Even if we are in France and we start to have traction in UK as well. But the biggest cities are New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and Washington. But other cities start to grow, and we hope that we will reach a critical size in 20 different cities by the end of the year in the U.S.
So what kind of numbers are you at right now in terms of Shaper? When did you launch?
We launched in early 2016. The first year we got more than 150,000 people who signed up, and mm-hmm. and now we got more than 1,500 new sign up every day.
And what kind of people are signing up? Do you have any sense of where you're getting the traction? What segment?
Yes, we have different people. We have a lot of tech entrepreneurs who start their company and need to network to find their co-founders or their collaborators or some investors. We have freelancers. Mm-hmm. We have people who just moved to a new city. I experienced it when I moved to New York. You really need to rebuild your network with mm-hmm. with people who could be your colleague, but also your friends. We have people who travel for business. We have people who just want to change their life and change their career because they worked in finance and they want to work in the tech industry, yeah. And so they want to meet people in different areas. So we have different kind of people who do that, but what we know that 70% of the people who sign up on Shaper told us that they're on Shaper to find inspiration and exchange ideas. So it's not for selling products, it's more to exchange and find inspiration.
Mm-hmm. And the business model is subscription. These are people that are subscribing by paying a certain amount of monthly fee?
No, now we want to focus on the growth of Shaper and on the user experience. We are working a lot on the algorithm. So we partner with a very famous mathematician in France, because even if the app is very easy to use, there is a lot of work to match the most relevant people. And mm-hmm. so we are working a lot on the best way to retrieve the data about your patient, your professional interests, your skills, your experiences, and with machine learning algorithm to suggest you the most relevant people for you.
Interesting. Okay. Well, very good. It's I love your attractive world story. Shaper remains to be seen how it all pans out. And the main question, I think, I'm sure it's on your mind and it's on all entrepreneurs' mind, is that how do you monetize and are people willing to pay? So the question is, are you – dating websites are easy to monetize because the, you know, goal is very clear. People are looking for dates. And people subscribe to dating websites. It's been, that model has been validated from the beginning of the internet. People were willing to pay for dating websites. The kind of networking website you're talking about and or networking service has less validation in terms of the market willing to pay for it. So that remains a question mark, and I'm sure you're thinking about that.
I don't really agree because you know, we have the same, even if we are not competitor, and I think that the service of Shaper is very complementary from the service of LinkedIn. You see that LinkedIn makes almost $4 billion revenue with the same target. So I'm not really
it's not the same target at all. LinkedIn's revenue model is primarily from recruiters subscribing to search their database. A very large portion of LinkedIn's revenue is that. So the matchmaking service took a long time for LinkedIn to start being able to charge for, which is their premium subscription, right? And it hasn't been a very successful monetization for them.
Yeah, but I don't think that the premium, there will be a premium package on Shaper once we reach the critical size, but it won't be the main revenue, I think. You know, the long-term vision for Shaper is that, you know, people need to shape their life because you know, the world is changing very fast and you need to reinvent yourself and find the best way to get fulfilled in your professional life. And we want to help people to do it. Of course, by introducing them to people who could inspire them in their professional life, but we also think that we could add some services like coaching, mentoring, learning some skills, and maybe find some very, very inspiring jobs. And we think that in this way we could make some revenue by doing this kind of service.
So I'm less convinced about these. The scalability of those models, but you know, I'm sure you'll prove me wrong.
Yes, I'm sure as well. We need to talk in 1 year.
Right. Good luck, and thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing your story. I love your story.
Thank you very much.